Let's, if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to pick up in Matthew 13. That's where we're going to be today, and for that parable of the sower that I read a little bit earlier. So again, thanks for being in the service today, and I even want to say thanks to those who will be listening to this message online just a little bit later, and so that's pretty cool that we can do that. We're walking through some of the most compelling and probably some of the most famous, the most thought-provoking stories that Jesus ever told, and it's really the title of the series that I've been sort of walking us through is how story matters here, and because these stories that Jesus told, they mattered back then, and they matter for us today. As a matter of fact, your story, even some that we heard here this morning, your story matters, and you matter to God, and you're highly valued, and so through each one of these stories, we're sort of digging into it a little bit. And we're looking to say, well, why does this story matter? And what is it trying to say to our lives today? And so this one is no different in how we look at the parable of the sower. And so as we come to the next one, the parable of the sower, it's a very important one. And as a matter of fact, it's repeated in all the biographies of Jesus in the New Testament. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke. And every time that I see a story that's repeated across the Gospels like that, it reminds me that for some reason, God is wanting to make sure that you and I don't miss out on the message of this story. This story, as one of my famous pastors, he likes to use the word crucial, and he says it that way. This story is crucial that we actually hook onto it and really get the message of it. And so I think as we look at this story of the parable, I probably would probably point out to you that I probably would see it more as a story or a parable of the soil more than the parable of the sower. And because in this message that we read, this parable raises a lot of questions. It raises a lot of, and also gives a lot of answers about our spiritual journey. But it's really about the soil that seed falls on. And ultimately in this story, it's about the soil that your life is and my life is. What kind of soil, what kind of ground are we? And when God's word falls on our lives, what kind of reception does it receive? And so I call it the parable of the soils because it's really about preparing the soil to receive the word of God. And so it's kind of cool as you look at this. Again, it raises some questions, but it also gives us some answers. Some of the questions that we find through this parable when you begin to study it, and we might even be looking at it in the life group on Tuesday night on this subject is, why are some people close to God and others aren't? If we all have the same word of God that's being presented to us, why is it some people receive it and they grow mightily in their faith and other people, they go, yeah, big deal, and nothing happens and they don't have that close relationship with it. What does it take to get close to God, to hear him, to experience him, and to do life with him? And we sort of see that question coming out of this parable as well. How can we listen to what God has to say to us? That question sort of rises out of that. So a lot of profound questions, I think, are raised within this parable when you begin to study it and begin to look at it. But the starting point that I want you to know very clearly from the very beginning is this. God's word comes to everybody. God's word comes to everybody. And it's like a seed falling on the ground. It goes everywhere to everybody, but not all the ground is the same. And you and I are that ground. God's word is given to you the same way it's given to me. But what kind of ground are we when it comes to receiving that? So as we talk about more about the soil today, and that's where I'm going to focus this, so you can write in your notes there on your sheet. We're going to talk about the soil, we're going to talk about the ground, but I want you to think, and as I go through this message and as I look at the different types of soil that Jesus talks about here, ask yourself, what kind of ground are you? And I know that in my life, if I'm not careful, I can become the kind of soil that we're going to be talking about today, and maybe you can too, but ultimately at the end of this story, we want to be the soil that's fertile and ready to receive the word of God so that it produces mightily, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30, whatever it may be. And that ultimately is the kind of soil that we want to be. So I just gave you the end of the message, so let's say amen. We'll send you on home. We better not. We better fill in the gaps here. So let's look at the different types of soils that are represented within this. First of all, there's the soil that fell, or the seed that fell along the path. And so the first soil we're looking at is the pathway soil. And for this one, I want us to look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 5, and I'll just read it for you, where Jesus said, "A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up." Now, I want to stop here for just a minute. The path becomes a way that is hardened. I grew up on a farm, and I can remember we would freshly plow a field, and we'd have it all prepped and ready. But if the cows got out, and we didn't know it, even in the course of a few hours, they would weave a path through that field just to get to the grass on the other side. And they would pack it down. And even in a short time, that path would become hardened. Or you might have been on a path when you're out hiking or when you're out biking. The pathway, because a lot of people traveled on it, it gets packed down. It's just super hard, and it's just the way it is. And so a path is something that is hardened. And it's almost, when it gets hardened that way, it's almost impossible to penetrate. So when seed falls on that pathway or on that kind of soil or on that kind of ground, it's just kind of laying there on the top, and it doesn't take any root. It can't go anywhere. It's just stuck there on top of that hard path. And of course, Jesus says when it's like that, the birds come along and the birds have a feast. They can eat that seed very easily. And so in minutes, what was sown can be gone. And so when we begin to look at this kind of soil along the path and how the path is hardened, I think it's one of those ways that we need to begin to recognize that when God's word is sown into our heart today, has our soil become hardened? Are you like that path that has become hardened because of things that have happened in life? And God is wanting to do some fresh things in your life. God is wanting you to fulfill the destiny he has for you. And I believe that very much in my heart, that God has a destiny for each one of us, a purpose, whatever word you want to use to describe it. But sometimes we miss that purpose, we miss that destiny because we have become hard. We become hardened. And so Jesus was trying to explain that to them. And matter of fact, in Luke chapter 8, verse 5, he gives that analogy. Then in verse 12, he says, "The seeds on the road are those who hear the word, but no sooner do they hear the word than the devil snatches it from them so that they won't believe and be saved." The question I thought about when I was thinking and preparing for this message is, how does a heart become hard? How does our hearts become hard? Because by nature, our hearts aren't that way. Even as a little child, as we're born and we come in this world, we have a tenderness and a sensitivity to us. We have an openness. That's why Jesus said many times, you know, unless you become as a little child, you'll miss out on it all. Children have that innocence, that openness, that tenderness, that somehow later in life as adults, we just don't have. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves as we look at this parable, what is it that makes us hard? What makes our hearts begin to become so callous and so hard-packed that we begin to miss out on what God has for us? Because it isn't naturally hard. Pathways are made. Pathways that I talked about with the cows walking across the field, or pathways through the wilderness that you hike on, or many people hike on, especially in provincial parks, they are made. They become hard, but they never started out that way. And they become hard because they've been walked on so much. And so in our spiritual lives and in our spiritual soil, if our soil is hard, then the question we need to ask ourselves, what is it that's been walking on it? What is it that's been making us hard and not really hearing the voice of the Lord, or not really receiving the word of God the way that we ought to? Something has created this tough exterior in our lives. Something has made us hard spiritually, where we don't hear the voice of God like we used to. I can remember when I first came to the Lord, I can remember many times kneeling beside my bed and spending time praying and with this newfound faith and just so excited about it. But as life pressed on, and I began to experience the hardness of even sometimes as you live out your faith and how people reject you and put you down, and how people say, oh, you believe that church stuff, that Bible stuff? Oh, man, that's ridiculous. How can you do that? And that was just within my family. So, I mean, and so you get hard after a while after you keep being walked on, and things become hard in your life. But we need to be careful of it. And some of us, we have become hard on our life. We've developed this tough exterior, not because of things and experiences that we've gone through. And when you go through those experiences, and when you get hurt, and when things don't turn out the way that you thought they would turn out, you begin to wall yourself up and you become hard and callous. And you say, well, I've been hurt by those church people, or I've been hurt by so-and-so, or I've been hurt by a bad marriage, or I've been hurt by hypocrisy. And so things that were done to us, and because we were hurt and things were done to us, we just become tough on the outside, and we have that tough soil that has developed. And the problem with that is that you say, I'm never going to let anybody get close to me again. I'm never going to let that happen again. I'm never going to open myself up again. As soon as you start saying that, what happens is that you usually mean that includes God as well. I find that people who have become hardened by the experiences of life, they also have a hard time to open up to God. They become like the seed that's sown along the path. Very hard. I want to say to you this morning, I want to encourage you as your pastor, don't let that soil remain hard. You and I need to remember that, yes, in this life, we will go through trials and tribulations. We will go through difficulties. We have all kinds of things. But if you're not careful, all that walking on you by other people, by bad experiences, whatever the case may be, you will become hard and you'll miss out on the voice of God and what He wants to say to you. The soil can be hard and difficult. But you know what? I want to remind us today that if our soil becomes hard, if our spiritual soil becomes hard, it is your responsibility to till that ground again. A pathway that is hard can become soft again. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. If you're thinking, well, Pastor, I think you just described the way I feel. I don't hear the voice of God. I'm not trusting people. I'm not letting anybody into my world. I've been hurt, and that's it. I want to encourage you. Till that soil again. Plow it up again. Make it soft again, whatever you have to do, so that the Word of God can find its way deep within your soul and your life. The second soil mentioned is the shallow soil. Jesus, in this second kind of soil, and again, I'll read it from Luke chapter 8, even though we have it in Matthew, verse 6 says, other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. Then the seed begins to grow, and soon it withers and dies for a lack of moisture. And so this brings up a different kind of spiritual challenge. The Word of God is being sown to everybody, but some people, they're the ones who have a shallow soil. They're the ones who say, hey, God is out there. He's giving away something. Hey, come me in. I'll take $50 worth. And so there are people today who, when the seed of God is shown, they're shallow in their approach to their Christianity. They want to sort of dip their toe in the river a little bit and find out what God is like. But as soon as it gets a little bit difficult or the pathway gets a little bit too hard, they're the ones who will slip away and say, nah, that's not for me. You know, in our world, there are a lot of people who are quick to respond. They're quick to accept. They're quick to sort of take the free gift of salvation, but they only want a little bit of it. They only want that, hey, put me in for $50. I'm not all in. Just give me $50 worth of that Christianity. But if it gets to be too much, hey, count me out. I'm not going any further than that. And so there is a segment of people, even within our churches, who they have accepted the gospel message, they have been a part of it, but when the road gets a little rocky, when the road gets a little rough, when it requires a little bit more of them, they say, I think I'm going to go and do something else. I'm going to go play pickleball. Just joking, whatever else is going on. And so there are people like that, and we need to be careful that we don't become shallow in our walk with God. We know that there are good times, but there's also difficult times that will come our way. And we need to make sure that when it comes to living for God, that we're all in. We're all in. There's no such thing as sort of serving God half-heartedly. And it doesn't work that. You either serve him wholeheartedly or you don't serve him at all. And so we need to be fully committed to being all in and not simply be shallow in our faith and accept it as long as it's comfortable, as long as it's easy, and everything's going our way. So Jesus was trying to point that out in talking about the seed that fell on this soil that was a little bit of soil on top but a very rocky underneath, and it couldn't last long because it just didn't have the ability to get the moisture in the roots to go down deep. Folks, if we're going to survive these days, we need to put our roots way down deep. One of my bosses, you didn't know I have lots of bosses, right? One of my bosses was telling about being with in a meeting with all the denominational leaders from across Canada. Most of them were there from mainline, evangelical, all denominational leaders, I believe. But amongst the evangelical leaders, there was a strong sense that as a church, we are entering into some very difficult days in Canada. It was a consensus amongst them that we have some challenging days, what they call the winter, for our churches ahead. And as I think about that, and as I think about how our leaders, they say we need to prepare for that. And one of the ways you prepare for that is make sure that your roots and your commitment to Jesus Christ go way down deep, and really, when the pressure is on, that you'll be able to stand firm until the end. So let's be careful of shallow soil. The third soil that is mentioned here is the thorny weeds. And this is the third kind of soil that Jesus talked about. In Luke 8, verse 7, he says, some seed fell among thorny weeds, but the weeds grew up with it. And notice, two things are happening together. The good and the bad were happening together here. But the weeds grew up with it and choked the good plants. Now, that's not very encouraging, is it? And so, now, there's a bit of a twist as you begin to look at this particular thorny soil and what the seed fell on. The seed here is competing against something else that is growing alongside with it. Something's competing with it. Something else has been allowed into the soil, something that Scripture says was bad. It was a weed. It was something that really was going to be harmful and hurtful. And so it's kind of interesting that Jesus was pointing that out, that you had this bad thing competing with the good thing that's going on. And so as we began to look at this particular soil, we realized that Jesus was teaching that if we allow this bad thing to continue to grow and continue to compete, if we allow it to never be addressed in our lives, if we allow this thing to always stay there, eventually it will choke out the good. Now, I got to be honest with you. I meet all kinds of believers. That's exactly what's happening in their life. They're allowing the bad things to go unaddressed. They're saying, oh, I can mix the two. And the answer is no, you can't. And so Jesus was very clearly telling them that when the seed that fell on thorny ground, if you allow those weeds to grow unchecked, unaddressed, undealt with, if you allow sin in your life to go unaddressed, undealt with, you know what? It's going to choke life out of you. You're going to lose the excitement about Christianity. You're going to stop reading your Bible. You're going to stop praying. You're going to stop going to church. You're going to stop spending time with other people, and down and down and down that spiral path you'll go, because it will choke the life out of you. And I wonder how many of us at one time, we were excited and vibrant about our faith. We just couldn't wait to get to church. But maybe now it's like, oh, honey, come on, I guess we better go. If we don't, he's going to be asking about us. We don't want that kind of Christianity. We want people who are fully alive and committed to Christ, and they're that way because they didn't let things go unaddressed, undealt with. So this morning, what kind of ground are you? Are you that thorny ground? Are you trying to live for Jesus on one hand, but you're letting things remain in your life that are bad? You're not addressing them. You're not dealing with them. You're thinking you can just ignore them, or maybe the two can somehow go together. If we think that way, we're fooling ourselves. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And Jesus was trying to teach us through this illustration of the soil and how if we let that bad grow, it will eventually choke us out. But the question I have when I began to study this, I said, why do we do that? Why do we let something bad continue to remain in our life even though we know it's bad? And when I began to think about it, and I began to ask myself the question, why don't we take out the weeds? I think it's very simple, the answer. Is that we ultimately feel that we would lose something by removing those weeds, and that we would lose something that we don't want to. We want to hang on to some of the things that the world says, yeah, hang on to it. Even though it's bad for you, keep doing it. We feel like the loss will be greater than the gain. We feel like if we pulled out the weeds and we addressed those issues, that, man, I'm going to lose something. And this Christianity stuff over here, I'm not sure if I'm going to gain enough to really compensate for what I'm losing. Really. And so sometimes people don't make that change. They don't make that decision. Because really, ultimately, they're thinking, it's not worth the gain. I want to encourage you this morning to put God at the top of your life list. And if he's not at the top of your life list, then there's something wrong. He's the one you need to live your life for. He's the one that you need to realize that he can give you everything you want. My father-in-law, one of the verses he was quoting towards the end of his life was, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then all these things shall be added unto you." That's really, in essence, what we need to do. We need to put Christ first in our life. And if we'll do that, then it takes us into the final soil that's represented here. If we put Christ first, it takes us into the final soil that is fertile, ready to produce a harvest. And so Jesus here, he's telling them as he ends this story of the parable, as he sort of points out to them in verse 8 and 23, that really there is good news here. You don't have to be like the pathway that's hardened. You don't have to be shallow in your walk with God in your spiritual soul. You don't have to try and let the bad grow at the same time with the good in your life. You can be fully surrendered to God, and if you would do that, you become like fertile soil that is aerated, tilled, fertilized, watered, and is ready to receive the word of God. Now, I drive Helen crazy because I love to take care of my lawn. If you mess with my lawn, I'm going to mess with you because I like my lawn aerated. I like it ready. And when I don't have the money to have someone come and aerate my lawn, it's like I'm in depression. All right, maybe not quite that bad. But I love a nice lawn. I love it aerated. And when they come and they pull the plugs out of the lawn, I get out there with all kinds of seed and I just overseed that thing because I know that that seed's going to fall down in and it's going to grow up and be nice and lush and just give me all kinds of work to do and taking care of it, all right? And so I just love a great lawn. I love something that's healthy and vibrant and just nice and lush and green. And fortunately, my neighbors are like that too, so we get along well. And Jesus is saying that your life and the word of God, as it comes to you, your soil can be like that. It's your choice. The soil is your responsibility. The ground is your responsibility. I can't come to your life and take out your weeds. You got to take them out yourself. I can't come and take your hardened heart and turn it soft again. I can't do that. But you can if you turn to Christ and say, Lord, I have become hard. I have become hardened. And I've been fooling myself, Lord, and trying to do bad things, but at the same time trying to reap the benefits of trying to live for Jesus. I cannot do a thing for you when it comes to your ground and your soil. But Jesus is saying you can. You can be that fertile soil. And if you would just choose to really surrender your life to him and let the word of God get way down in your life, Jesus is telling you that you will ultimately, you will never lose more than you gain. He's telling you that you will never give more than you will get. And he's ultimately telling every one of us that you will never regret more than you rejoice. If we become that fertile soil, we'll get far more than we ever thought we would ever get. God does incredible things even to 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, more times if we would just seek ye first the kingdom of God. So letting go and following Jesus and fully giving our lives over to him produces 100% more than you would ever get in trying to be hardened and shallow and on thorny soil and allowing the world to choke it all out. The Apostle Paul, he said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, he says, all the things I once thought were, and I'm reading this from the paraphrase of the Message, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master. Firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for him is going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. Everything this world has to offer does not even compare from a life that is fully surrendered to God. It's amazing to me how we trade in cheap and we accept cheap imitations versus the real thing. And so as we look at this parable of the sower, and as Jesus was telling about the soil, he really wanted people to begin to think through, what kind of ground are you? And that's my message for you today, is what kind of ground are you? Are you the kind of ground that can grow and produce a hundredfold? We need to begin to ask ourselves that very question. And I close this message out with that question. What kind of ground are you? And maybe at one time you were that fertile soil, growing, loving God, fully excited about your faith, but maybe life has turned you hard and calloused. Maybe some weeds have crept in. I can't do anything for you, but there is one who can, and that's Christ. He's the one that can make that pathway soft again. He's the one that can bring some depth into your life. He's the one that can help you overcome those things, those bad things, maybe addictions, maybe bad habits, maybe impure thinking, whatever it may be. He's the one that can help you to be a more than a conqueror if you put your faith fully in him. And he can help you to have that fertile soil. I hope it's your passion today, as we think about our story. What are people going to say about you when your life is over? What kind of ground will they say that you lived on? How receptive were you and I to the things of God? Let's stand together in closing. Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us today, and thank you just for the spirit that is in this service. And Lord, I just thank you for the way you are speaking to us. I've been praying and asking God that you would do that, and you have been faithful. You have been absolutely faithful in doing that. And Lord, this morning as I close out this message, I'm asking that you would speak to our hearts. Not someone that's next to us, not someone that's maybe we're thinking this message would have been great for so-and-so if they've been here. But Lord, this message is for us. It's for me. It's for each one of us. Help us, God, to think about the kind of soil that we are. And as we hear your word, as we read your word and are exposed to it, how willing are we to surrender? Or are we still trying to hang on thinking, oh, I don't want to give it up. I don't want to lose the things of this world. Lord, help us to be that fertile soil that produces 100-fold, that's ready to receive your word and is willing to be obedient to that word. God, help us this day, that the world would look upon our lives and through the lives of us here at Spotlight Church, and they would say, wow, there is a church that truly believes the word of God, and they are a people, even though not perfect, they are trying to be faithful to your word. Lord, let them see that in us today. Let our husbands and our wives, let our children not see hypocrisy. Let them see authenticity. Let them see something as real. And Lord, for us as a church family, help us to make sure that what we are in private is the same thing we are in public. And Lord, just again, so many people, they say, I want nothing to do with Christianity because so-and-so goes to church and they pretend to be one thing there, but when they get behind the closed door of a home, they become abusive and they become full of anger and hurt. God, don't let that happen amongst those who lift up your holy name. Help us to be real and authentic, both in public and in private. God, help us to get rid of the bad things. Help us to get rid of the weeds. By your grace, by your power, let our soil be fertile and be everything you want us to be. We ask it today in Jesus' name. Let's just sing this in closing.